We are still studying Passover, which we're celebrating tomorrow. We've canceled tonight's activities.
There wasn't that one.
Don't you wish?
I know I wish.
You might wish I could have said
it. Don't do that to me.
That's okay.
We're studying what? No. Passover ceremony, there's a section that you say, and you shall say a feast of Passover. We're at this, yesterday we looked at what Daniel, and when, during Daniel's time when the king saw Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Svarsen written on the, did we study that?
Yeah.
It means that you have been found eternally lacking. There's no hope for the flesh. Well, now we're going to study the lamp was lit and the table was set for the doom of the desert by the sea on Passover. I love that. The doom of the desert by the sea. What?
Where are you reading from? Someone's trying to follow.
Oh, we're not in the scriptures yet.
Oh, okay. Well,
this is what came to pass on Passover.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know.
I did.
Okay.
But you weren't listening.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Isaiah 21.
What scriptures are the name and they technically?
Daniel 5. I'll give you the exact scripture here in a second.
Where in Isaiah?
Isaiah 21. It's verse 25. But we're not going there now. It was just for Mr. Buckner's purposes. Isaiah 21. Verse 1. The burden of the desert of the sea or by the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, and it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All the sighing thereof have made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold on me, as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted, fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, A lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime. I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And all the graven images of her gods he hath broken into the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. Now, this is all about the destruction of Babylon that's predicted. And it's Belshazzar is the king during this time. Let's look at Revelation 17.
The evil of Babylon was just essentially, it was religion, but not God.
They thought it was God.
I know, but it wasn't.
Right.
Because they made it up out of their own hearts and minds and good ways of behaving and that whole thing.
Well, the primary sin of Babylon, they had, there was a temple with 500 gods in it. It's just, we probably have more than that in our culture. So, but the primary sin, the Babylonian garment, is belief in cause and effect. And it has to fall in the same way. There were really three exoduses. There was first the exodus of the rich from Egypt, and the exodus that we're celebrating now, which became the first Passover. Then after the diaspora, there was a third exodus, and that exodus was what's recorded in Ezra and Nehemiah, where Cyrus, the Persian king, paid for the rebuilding of the temple. And he became a type of Christ. And that, coming out of there, it was only the poor and relatively few people heeded the call. And so that's what the whole of this, the watchman by the sea, of the desert, the dooms, of the desert by the sea on Passover. So it's the final exodus. There's really four exoduses. One is when we physically leave. Like when Peter died, he said, my exodus is near. But here, it's primarily about the universal belief in cause and effect. That we must come out of her. Now, can you conceive of living without cause and effect?
I just got kind of a picture of the ultimate effort of man. And it's, if I abandon myself, I will get something. You do the best you can, then you get to that point. And even the most fundamental thing we need to do is abandonment, but without an agenda. And I don't think
right, and it's capable. And it's throw me in the pits of hell, and I'll love you anyway. There's no expectation.
Mm-hmm.
That's true abandonment.
Right, then God Himself has.
Well, if Christ is in you, that's the whole mystery. If you died and He's your life. Remember, on the next Sabbath, our next big meeting after Passover will be for the reading of the Song of Solomon. And so that signifies the betrothal. The bride. She's called out of the world system and Babylon on Passover. She's betrothed during Passover season, but on the Sabbath following That's why there are 8 days in Passover. And she's empowered on the Feast of... Well, there's all kinds of stuff that's going on. The counting of the Omer is the main thing, and that's coming out of all the 49 gates of impurity in your life. And every one of those 49 gates is something that you think is good. Until you finally, on the Feast of Pentecost, then the empowerment of the bride to be pure, without spot or wrinkle, happens on Pentecost. And then the test of that is all of the fast of Ab, the fast of Tammuz, all of those things during the summer to make sure the idolatry is gone. And then it happens again on Yom Kippur when the Kol Nidre is done. So all oaths are abandoned and destroyed. All agendas are made as dust of the earth. So you stand empty before God, truly empty. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb under the huppah, on the feast of the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So every year we repeat this, and prayerfully and hopefully every year it becomes more and more clear. It's more and more meat in your life. Remember, the disciples did it for 3 years. They had the 3-year cycle where they'd gone through scripture by scripture in the Torah and in the writings and in the prophets. And they saw everything, every word, every jot, every tittle was the revelation of Christ. But they went through all these things, the fast of Tammuz, the fast of Ab. And they were baptized in Yom Kippur. All right. Revelation 17. If the Jews believed in the New Testament, they'd be reading Revelation, all kinds of scriptures in Revelation. Start in verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, "Come unto me, come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Everything in Revelation, whether either an angel or Christ himself, says, "Come see." And where do you go to see what? You leave time and you look at the world and your circumstance from the top down, and you see a totally different perspective. You look from the standpoint of eternity. So you're, at that point, you're truly confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're saying and seeing and hearing the same things that he heard and sees. Amen? Anybody understand that? So we leave time and we you can't understand the book of Revelation in time. You can only understand it from a standpoint of looking down from eternity. Otherwise, you come up with the weirdest things you could ever hear of. All right. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore, which sitteth upon many waters." And the waters is the human race. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk on the wine of her fornication." The wine is the wine of Ephraim. And the wine of Ephraim is self-seeking. You're drunk on the wine of self-seeking. So So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. This is the same beast that John saw in Revelation 13. It's the same beast that Daniel saw. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. As we've said so often, everything in that golden cup and everything about the whore is what the world admires. Gold, pearls, and then in the cup itself is everything that you think and want and admire and esteem. And it's because that, by definition, is the abominations, or are the abominations. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations in the earth. And they saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. He was awestruck by seeing that everything that he and the world wanted was of the whore. Whatsoever is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. They will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. Anybody hear this? Well, we could go on there. Now let's go over to Revelation, down to chapter 18. But I encourage you to read the rest of that.
When we were reading about the woman sitting on the beast, and I remember that scripture where all men are as beasts. Isn't there a scripture like that? Something like that?
Yeah, brute beasts, yeah.
Yeah. Just totally being controlled by this.
The seven heads of the seven tribes that the Israel just destroyed.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're destroyed in you.
Yeah.
All right. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have been made drunk on the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And do you understand that it's all about cause and effect here. Even the kings, they're a king because they've made up a genealogy where they claim, if you look at all the kings of Europe, they claim that they came directly from the blood of Christ. Have any of you ever studied that Merovingian dynasty where all of these things came from? They believe that Jesus was married and had a son, and they brought him to the south of France, and then everything from that time has been to protect the bloodline of that son by these supposed rich people. And that's how the kings how do you become a king? How did these guys become kings? The only way. And how did the czars become czars? They became it because they convinced the world and all their people that they were of the bloodline of Jesus Christ because of his son. It's just it's so ridiculous. It's beyond, it's beyond comic book. And yet they're the powers of the earth. Have been for 2,000 years. What?
Nothing. I'm listening. I'm just tired.
Oh. All right.
That was in the Aquarian Gospel where he had the son.
It's just... It's so it denies every mystery of Christ. Tried to make it pleasing, acceptable to the flesh. And I heard another voice from heaven. Now, this is a voice you have to hear. I heard another voice. If you don't want to be a partaker, what happens here? You have to hear it. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her." Double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Come out of her, my people, come out of cause and effect. Live by faith alone. That's the call of every Passover. Well, if I live by faith alone, I couldn't do what I do. Well, you don't know what you could do. It's none of your business. But first you have to come out of her. All right. We're going to finish here. That's the next. And you shall say a feast of Passover. Esther or Hadassah gathered an assembly for a 3-day fast on Passover. Haman, head of the wicked house, didst thou ruin on the 50-cubit tree on Passover. These two, in one moment, childless and widowhood, didst thou bring to Utzeth Aram, which is another name for Edom, on Passover. May thy hand be strong, thy right hand exalted always on the sanctification night of the festival of Passover. Let's go to Isaiah 47. This is talking about this Utzeth Aram. Well, let's go on. Everybody's influenced by Babylon, as you'll see here. And verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make sure bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid the yoke. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit a widow, as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come in thee, in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and knowledge it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit, if thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things which shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a cool coal to warm at or a fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee, with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter, and none shall save thee. Now the sorceries and enchantments was everything that our mind does. So this final one is what destructs Edom as a type of the flesh. It's the final one is the destruction of the flesh, which was accomplished. We, the human race, died in this Passover. Now you're either a vessel for deity. You've always been. There's no independent self. You don't even exist. There's a guy masquerading as you that has invented you. His name is the Evil One. Boy, how you protect him. Christ is calling, and you put him in prison in the deepest, darkest dungeon of your temple. Because his humility is so great, he cannot and will not occupy where you are. That's why he's called for abandonment. Not just a little, 100%. It's the divorcing yourself from yourself. This is what Passover is about. And you shall say a feast of Passover. Any response?
Just in this last part, I've seen the when you get pressed closer and closer to the point of no return, let's say. Kind of like one of the final enemies of abandonment is justifying yourself. And it's endemic. It's not something you think about. It just is nature of flesh to get out of a spot. And to not pick up the cross, to not go that last way. And it all pertains to rejecting faith. It's like do anything to maintain your own faith.
You don't have faith.
Yeah, and this is all about Babylon, you know. It's like, what were they doing? What were they thinking?
How
were
same they thing we are.
Conducting themselves.
Same thing we are.
Yeah.
marrying, giving in marriage, doing businesses. Same thing, no change.
Yeah.
You have the same idols that they did, the same sorceries. It's time. It's time to free the prisoners. And the prisoners of Christ in you. You kept in the deepest, darkest prison. What? Did someone say something?
I just cleared my throat.
Oh.
But I was thinking something. It's like you can talk for days at how difficult it is. And it is difficult when you look at it in certain ways. And yet, it's as simple as jumping off of a building or something. It's like, one, two, three, jump. Just don't think and jump. You know, it's...
I'm gonna think about jumping.
You just step off.
That's what I do every... Okay, this is me. I'm sitting here. I'm thinking about getting up. I do that on purpose because it's just this crap that our mind does.
Either that is simple and quick, or it's quite a deal.
Or it's not.
I need to give this some thought.
It's a big deal.
Isn't another name for cause and effect just the law?
Well, when it has the law, then it's talking about Torah. But anything, you know, everything in Torah is cause and effect if you look at it.
Part of how it's a mystery, you know. It's like, on the one hand, the law is perfect. On the other hand, is that what you're going to follow?
Go to Isaiah, go to Psalm 48. I'm going to target it a little bit, okay? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, and the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for every situation, the real joy of the entire world is this Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, the city, but it's hidden in a mystery. The city of the great King, or better stated, is shrouded in a veil. The city of the great King. It's the New Jerusalem. And it's right in front of us. It's all around us. It came down to earth on Pentecost 2,000 plus years ago. Who told you were naked? Who told you needed something? Who told you that you needed to do this and that? If you see anything in any of those, then you'll continue to do it because that's where your life is. You've got to come to the end of you. That's what I've been preaching for 40 some years. The death. Don't try to. We used to have people running around here and say, they'd be talking to themselves. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. They're trying to die. You can't try to die. That's a contradiction in terms. You see you're dead already. That's what mortify means. You are dead and your life is hidden with Christ and God. Well, then what's this thing going on? Doesn't look like I'm dead. If you don't know by now that that's the evil one, I don't know what else you can do. And if you use any part of the evil one, and then you've resurrected him totally. And the veil is down again. You won't see. You think you see. But this thing can't comprehend a life without time. It's much more than a mystery. It's an impossibility. Uh, That's why the hallmarks in time are these eight feasts. There's eight including Sabbath, where you enter totally the rest. It's the rest, him, is Jesus Christ. I heard a voice from heaven saying, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus Christ. And the voice from heaven said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor. And he works, follow them, not lead them. If you can't do it, then don't justify doing it. That's how the church has gotten lost, because instead of taking the lowest seat and saying, Father, I don't know what to do except what I'm doing, I don't understand how I can live by faith alone. So I got to continue what I'm doing until it's revealed. Or I've tried to repent, but it just doesn't seem to happen because this is the only thing I know to do. But I keep trying to repent. But I know, I see, but this is all I know to do. Then, Father, please take it. Take the lowest seat. Never justify. Everybody got that?
Yeah, that's have mercy upon me, the sinner.
Well, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
That's like have mercy upon me, a sinner.
All right, take it, big guy.